school buildings are closed, but teachers are feverishly working to adjust their plans and their students to learning from a distance. The person who leads Wisconsin's K-12 schools is our guest, and we're talking about how the state is supporting districts when they've been ordered not to have kids at their desks. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent, and there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What do you want to ask the state superintendent about what's happening during the coronavirus pandemic or graduation rates, general priorities? How is your school managing this building shutdown? Do teachers and students have what they need? What's your perspective? Share it with us at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Carolyn Stanford Taylor is Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction. She was appointed by Governor Tony Evers in January of 2019, and she previously served for 17 years as the Assistant State Superintendent for the Division for Learning Support. Superintendent Stanford Taylor, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Help us understand, how well are schools managing the closures and students now learning from home?
Well, as you know, this is a health emergency that came without warning. And so while all districts had an emergency crisis plan and learned a little bit from the polar vortex, this is nothing close to those emergencies. We've never had a case of schools having to be closed for an indefinite period of time. And so I'm proud of the state. I'm proud of our schools, our administrators, educators, and our kids. I think they're doing a great job in trying to provide some continuity of education under these circumstances.
And we have seen, both in our reporting with WPR and anecdotally in our own lives, that you're right. I mean, this came and it feels like teachers were not expecting that at some point they might have to suddenly teach from afar, whether that is, you know, AP classes in high school or elementary students. So how is the state trying to support the schools that are right now kind of building these plans from the ground up?
Well, we have a number of resources at the state, and we've asked for a number of waivers for districts. One of the things we're considering is the waiver of the hours and minutes of instruction, because we don't have an end date for this. And so to assume that schools will be able to resume in the next 3-4 weeks, we have to look at the amount of time that's lapsed between that. We still had assessments, state assessments, federal assessments that need to be done. We've asked for a waiver from those. But right now, we're concentrating as our priority on getting kids fed and taking care of their social-emotional needs. That's number one priority. What we do understand that you can't replicate what happens at a school during a school day in a home. We're not asking people to try to do 7 hours of instruction at home. We're asking that there be some continuation of education. And districts have done that in different ways. You've heard some have done packets of enrichment that they're calling it for their kids. Others have technology that they're able to do virtual education. So what this has really brought to light is the inequities across districts, the resource difference, the digital divide. And I think after this, we'll be able to really sit down and start to focus on where those gaps were and what we can do to try to assist in closing some of those gaps.
And long-term planning is certainly important in being able to analyze that, but there's inequity right now. What steps are schools taking to help low-income families who may have a higher need for assistance in this crisis?
Well, as I was saying, food is being distributed in every school district that I've heard from in some kind of way, whether it's been a pickup or drive-through and drop-off, grab-and-go, they've done that. In a lot of those areas in districts that have students who don't have technology at home, might not have Wi-Fi, don't have broadband, those kids are being given some packets. I know that districts are working on some online instruction, and there are companies that have stepped up. PBS has stepped up, and starting yesterday, I believe, has programming for K through 12 kids throughout the day, starting at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Are you concerned that what's happening right now and the fact that we're having to kind of treat different kids differently because of their means is going to widen the gap of and the inequities among our students?
Well, I believe that will happen. I know that districts are working hard to try to prevent that gap from widening. I know that all of the administrators that I've talked to and their staff are busy. They're in the school districts, are working with each other around providing plans. Some have teachers who are working in teams providing instruction online for kids. They're using Facebook. Many teachers are reaching out individually to kids. They're calling up their kids. How's it going? We've got administrator, example of one who's reading to their kids. So they can go online, go on Facebook, have a book read to them. So people are coming up with innovative ways to reach out to our students to say, hey, you matter. We want you to continue learning. We understand this is not the best environment, the best circumstances in which to learn. We've given examples of resources to parents. How do you create authentic learning for your kids? For younger kids, maybe you do a scavenger hunt. Maybe you include them in the lunch preparation. You cut the pizza into slices. You talk about fractions. So all of those kinds of things.
We're discussing how schools are responding to the new coronavirus with Wisconsin State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor. There's room for you in this discussion at 800-642-1234. How are you managing if you have children at home that are students and trying to study at home? Is your school having trouble in the transition, or do you see them really, really thriving here? What steps do you think the state should be taking? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 to weigh in on this discussion and talk with the state superintendent. And Superintendent Stanford Taylor, I wonder, how much did you play in the governor's decision to order schools closed? And what kind of conversations are you having now in the decision to monitor and eventually reopen?
We continue to have discussions with the governor and the governor's office as well as Department of Health. One of the things we talked to the governor about, and we had a discussion, I think it was mid-March, early March, around what was happening, what we were seeing happening around the country, and when first cases were kind of identified here. We had a number of districts. We have this group we call the Big Five. It's our largest districts in the state, includes Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Kenosha, and Racine. And they had been talking with each other about this push to close schools. What we were worried about was the impact that that would have on the economy, have on parents, have on, and you see that effect right now. Schools close, there's a scramble. How do we continue learning for kids? And so they were pushing, because it was around spring break, to extend the spring break period. And initially, I think it was March 13th conversation, the governor agreed to close schools for a two-week period of time, which extended after that point, because as information, new information was coming in, he realized that the two-week period was not long enough. And so the last date we had was April 25th, and then it was until this emergency public health crisis is over.
The state is canceling its standardized test for the remainder of the school year. Why did you make that call?
Not knowing when we might be able to get back into schools, we didn't think it was fair for kids to have to take a test based on them completing an entire year in that grade. And the feds agreed with us. And this is something that's happening across the U.S. It's not just Wisconsin.
And could there be drawbacks, though, down the road to losing those one-year standardized snapshot of student achievement?
We probably will not have that. We're talking now about what we can report. So kids basically were able to complete three quarters of a year. And so we're talking to districts about how do we evaluate that, especially with our seniors. How many students were already on track to graduate? And can we use the period of time that they've already spent working on their senior year to produce some kind of grade point or something that students would use to matriculate?
And how then will we gauge how well student achievement is being maintained while kids are not physically in the building?
I don't know that we will be able to for this period of time. We'll have to use the period of time in which they had been in the building.
Okay, so looking at trying to assess that amount of time and recognizing that what's happening right now is intentionally very different than when kids were actually physically in school.
Absolutely.
All right, we're talking with State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor, who stays with us through the end of this hour, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We're wondering what you think about the situation here in Wisconsin, what questions you have for the state superintendent, what do you want to know about her goals or priorities for Wisconsin schools? What do you think the superintendent should know about what's happening in your part of Wisconsin, in your public schools? Give us a call now at 800-642-1234. We're talking about how schools are handling the COVID-19 pandemic and beyond, and your ideas are welcome. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or find us on Twitter, tweet at WPR Mornings. Our conversation with State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor continues here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Many people are experiencing some grief as COVID-19 changes our lives right now. We see the headlines. Some people are getting sick, even dying from the new disease. Others are experiencing a different kind of loss. Children are feeling isolated from their classmates. Some students are missing out on rites of passage that we've taken for granted. We're talking about the ways COVID-19 affects education in Wisconsin with State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor. And there's still time to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. What policies do you think would help students graduate more often or perform better on standardized tests? What are you seeing in your district right now that you think is important for the state superintendent to know about? You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or use that number, 800-642-1234. State Superintendent Veronica called from Janesville, couldn't stay with us, but wants to know what's being done to help kids who are possibly homeless or displaced, or maybe children who are experiencing abusive households. How is the state helping districts handle that?
So we have a student services prevention and wellness team that's working with our Department of Health and Services around our homeless kids. We know as a school system who our kids are, and they are checking on those kids, doing check-ins to make sure that they're safe.
And is there anything specific that the state is offering, any guidance or resources for kids that are in this position?
We do have a homeless coordinator with our school who is available to point out resources that are available for schools and others who have questions around that. Most school districts have their own programs for homeless, and that's part of what they're working out. The problem with having 421 school districts is that each one has their liaison to their homeless programs, and they've identified those for their families. So they will be in touch with their school districts around services that are available for our homeless students. Number one, as we were saying before, is to make sure that all of our students are being fed and are well mentally, socially.
So that they can learn then?
Yes, absolutely.
We've seen colleges across Wisconsin calling off graduation ceremonies this spring. Do you expect K-12 schools will also cancel ceremonies?
They're in conversation about that now and trying to figure out creative ways of getting our kids graduated and having some kind of ceremony around it. And all of that, again, depends on how long this health emergency lasts. It may be that there's some kind of summer ceremony or something for them, but each district is trying to figure out their own plan for doing that.
Graduation is a big rite of passage for students. What would you tell students or their families who are concerned about that or might be upset if they lose graduation ceremonies?
That's the hard thing, isn't it? And we've also been in touch with the university around their plans for our kids coming to them, and they're trying to figure out what they do for graduation. Is it online? Or there are so many rites of passage that have been interrupted because of COVID-19. Kids are thinking about proms. They're thinking about athletic events and all of those things that have just been disrupted. And I know that school districts and others are trying to figure out plans for how they can salvage as much of this for their students as possible, whether it is using some of the summertime. I know they're in those conversations.
Earlier this month, the Department of Public Instruction reported that graduation rates continued on an upward trend with the class of 2019. How concerned are you that graduation rates could fall this year because of the pandemic?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
We've seen that graduation rates in Wisconsin are on an upward trend, and I wonder how concerned you are that graduation rates may go down because of COVID-19.
We are so excited about graduation rates going up, especially for some of our most vulnerable populations that we've been really concerned about. So this new information is really exciting. We are concerned, but I think there are ways that we can help maintain that upward movement. If you think about it, you think about the summer when school is out of session. We always worry about that summer loss. And if we look at this period of time, it's kind of like summer loss. But what can we do perhaps during the summer that will continue that learning so that we don't have added to the summer lapse additional time?
We are discussing how schools are responding to the coronavirus with Wisconsin State Superintendent Carolyn Stanford Taylor, and we're talking about other initiatives and priorities within the department. And State Superintendent, earlier this year, before the pandemic, we heard Governor Evers urging lawmakers to hike school funding with money that was from an anticipated surplus in tax collections, specifically in the realm of mental health. Do you support a proposal like that after the pandemic as far as trying to take care of students and their, you know, their cognitive and their emotional well-being?
I think if you've looked at the research that's been out there since we've been in this COVID-19 time period, they're talking about the concern around mental health, the concern around the disruption of daily life and activities, the heightened concern around what happens with adults who are under stress and kids who are under stress. So I think it's only heightening the need for more mental health services. And yes, that will be one of our asks in the next budget. We got additional dollars the last biennium. We will be asking for an increase in those dollars. While what we got is a help, we understand that the needs are greater than the resources that we have available for us.
And the next budget seems so, so far away at this point, but it sounds like you're looking at some of the priorities for it that may have changed or may need to be adjusted based on what's happening right now?
We are. We are absolutely doing that. One of the other needs was around this continuation of learning. And because of this disruption, that makes that even more critical as well, extended learning opportunities for our kids, whether it's in the morning, it's after school, it's on Saturdays, or summer learning. We'll need that. We'll need additional dollars.
And what about equity? Let's circle back to that, because at the start of the school year, you called equity the focus of your agenda. How are you trying to bring more equity into the state with those achievement gaps in under these circumstances?
That is exactly what we're trying to do. So we're looking at who we're identifying our populations of kids who are not doing as well as their counterparts. And what are the needs around that? What is the data telling us that we need to do? So, again, part of it is the extended learning opportunities. It's the early childhood piece. If we continue to provide resources to have our kids ready for school, that they start on an even playground, we're going to be doing so much better in the long run. Our kids will not come with language deficits. Our kids will come with the social-emotional learning that they need, the competencies that they need. They will be able to read by the time that they get to third grade, so that we're not doing so much remediation. So if we can front-load those dollars, that's going to help us so much on the back end.
Superintendent Stanford Taylor, thank you for joining us, and we'd certainly welcome you back as we see things change this spring. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Carolyn Stanford Taylor is Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction. We've been talking about education during and after this coronavirus pandemic. And if you've missed part of our conversation, you can find it later today on our program page. Just visit WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, Dr. Zorba Pastor joins the morning show and fields your questions about the coronavirus and other health conditions. I'm Keely Boltina. Thanks for being with us today. You're listening to the Ideas Network.